Today, I would like to talk about the skills we use in conversation, because the skills that we use every day to communicate with each other can also be used in our spiritual lives as well. Let's turn first to the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. I'm not going to read the whole parable because we're very familiar with it. I just want to focus on the response that the bridegroom, or Christ, gives to the 5 foolish virgins when they try to enter the marriage feast. Let's read Matthew 25 and verse 12. I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Bible. "But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.'" The foolish virgins were rejected because the bridegroom did not know them. Christ did not know them, and they did not know Christ, not with the depth required for admission to the God family. How do we make sure that we are not rejected at the marriage feast? And how do we get to know God and God gets to know us? How do we get to know anyone? Conversation is a great way, if not the only way, to achieve this. You certainly don't get to know someone by just knowing facts about them. There's a big difference between knowing about someone and actually knowing them. We can hear lots of information about someone, know lots of facts about them. Especially these days with social media, we can see a whole lot about someone's life without ever meeting them. But knowing about someone and actually having a conversation and getting to know them is entirely different. Interacting with a person through conversation is really the only way to get to know a person. And conversation uses certain skills, characteristics, and behaviors in order to be effective. So what are some of those? I've arrived at 4 skills, certainly not the only ones, but 4 that help in our spiritual lives in getting to know God. The first skill is to be a good listener. A good conversationist will be good at talking about the other person more than talking about themselves. A good listener knows that a conversation is a two-way thing, and that having a good talk with someone would involve talking about the other person as much as talking about oneself. A benefit of being a good listener is that it provides material to respond with. Listening well to what the other person is speaking about leads to better questions and provides more material to respond with. Listening is vital to getting to know someone. When my wife and I were getting to know each other, we had to communicate long distance. Most of the time we had the Atlantic Ocean between us, and we just had voice, text, video, and a computer screen as a means to communicate. To get to know someone through these limited means, it was even more important to be a good listener, to be able to understand what the other person is about in every situation. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Proverbs 1 and verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain it and unto wise counsels." By being a good listener, we get to know God, by listening and reading what he says to us through scripture, by being aware of the trials that come along and listening to what God is teaching us through day-to-day life. When we are waiting for an answer to a problem, we wait with open ears for it to be revealed to us in a variety of possible ways. By being good at being quiet at the right times, we can hear what God is saying to us through situations, inspiration, and scripture. Psalm 46 and verse 9 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Let's think about the model prayer for a moment. We won't turn there because we're very familiar with it. The first half of the model prayer is talking about God and his plan. The second half moves on to talk about ourselves and our needs and wants. In a conversation, we usually strive to talk about the other person before we begin talking about ourselves. For example, we would usually ask someone about their day before we go on to give them the whole rundown of our own. And so when we talk to God, we usually begin with talking about what we're grateful for, what God is and what he has done for us, before we move on to talk about our needs. So that's the first conversation skill, being a good listener. The second skill is to be humble. A student talking to a teacher will not learn much if they go into a conversation thinking they know more than the teacher. A humble person strives to understand the other's point of view. A humble person doesn't come into the conversation thinking they already know what they are talking about. Humility matters in conversation because it changes the tone right away. When we're not focused on proving a point or sounding impressive, we start listening, and people can feel that. It makes others feel respected, heard, and safe enough to share what they really think. Humility reminds us that we don't have all the answers, and there's always something to learn from the person in front of us. Instead of trying to win, we aim to connect, and that's when conversations become meaningful. And certainly, when we approach God and speak to Him, we practice humility, especially when we know that God has all the answers and we don't. God knows the number of hairs on our head, and He knows our thoughts before we express them. Humility in our prayers is vital for communication and developing a trusting, safe, and understanding environment for a relationship to develop. Listen to Psalm 19 and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Also, let's turn to James 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility cures worldliness. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So humility is an important skill in conversations, especially when we approach God. God resists or opposes the proud. He will shut us out if we don't go to Him in humility. And I think that's the same is true with anyone too. If we begin a conversation in a kind of a boastful way, it shuts people down. So humility is an everyday skill that we can use in our spiritual lives as well. My third point is that we need to know that conversations need balance. There are many ways in which conversations require balance. A balance between listening and speaking, balance in terms of discussing positive things and negative things, a balance between understanding or encouraging and being informative and instructional. Constant positivity can feel disconnected from real life, while constant negativity can be a drain and shut people down. To get to know someone deeply, it is useful to talk about what troubles them, what makes them happy, what motivates them, what gets them down. If we only call a friend when we need something, that friend is going to feel used. When we come to God, we can remember this important skill of using balance. We cannot only go to God when we feel down or we need something. God isn't going to know us deeply if we only present that one side to Him. Likewise, if we only speak praises to Him, He will also not know us deeply. God wants to see us run to Him and tell Him excitedly when something goes well. He wants to see us run to Him when we need help. Just like a parent wants to see their little child come running to them to share everything, the ups and the downs, the excitement of achieving something new, or the pain of being hurt. Matthew 18 verse 3 says, Verily I say to you, except ye become converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This leads to the deep knowing that God needs from us before we get to that marriage feast. So conversations need balance in so many ways. The fourth point is that knowing someone requires frequent communication. To really get to know someone, conversation needs to be regular and often. My wife and I didn't have to force ourselves to communicate often. It just happened naturally, of course. But by talking every day, it fed into an ongoing conversation that feels like it never stops. That's the kind of conversation we want with God. The kind of conversation where you save up things through the day that you want to express to a person when you see them again. We can have that kind of conversation with our spiritual father, so that when we have trials, troubles, joyous events in a day, it makes us want to store up that subject for later. The next time I pray, for example, I'm going to talk to him about such and such. In the 6th chapter of Daniel, we are told how Daniel prayed 3 times a day without fail, even in the face of severe punishment. He continued to do what he had always done and didn't let up on his frequent and regular conversation with God. Let's read that in Daniel 6 and verse 10. Daniel 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened to his in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime, or as he had been doing previously. King David also did the same. In Psalm 55 and verse 17 he says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Communicating frequently and regularly is a great way to deepen a relationship, especially when it comes to conversation with our Creator. So to have meaningful conversation with God, we can use some of these everyday skills to help us. We can practice being good listeners, we can practice being humble, we can practice using balance in everything, and we can practice communicating frequently. All these things help us develop that meaningful relationship that we need with our Creator and Spiritual Father through conversation.